Fan-foodastic.
Good evening, squirrels. How was your week?
Not bad.
No?
I guess. I mean, I started on Christmas decorations.
Are you in competition with MDev?
No, God, nobody's in competition with MDev.
I think he's trying to give like Clark Griswold a run for his money.
Yeah, I think so. That's his inspiration.
He's trying to do something. That much is certain. I do not go that far. There was a time when I would try. That time is gone.
I put a Santa hat on my old jack-o'-lantern. And I liked him a lot. He was really festive and kind of like happy and smiley on my front steps.
And then
his poor face caved in because he rotted away. And I said to myself, well, I guess it's time now to, you know, put him in the compost pile. But now I kind of miss him. I've got nothing on the front steps, so I don't know what to do. We don't really decorate outside for Christmas. I've just kind of, in the past couple of years, like I've just started putting up a tree again. You know, a little fake tree with all plastic ornaments because cats.
Because cats.
I don't really do much outside. But I have noticed that in our neighborhood, people started so early this year. Like before Thanksgiving, even. Like people.
Oh, that's wrong.
Well, not only like they. Okay, I can understand, like, especially around here, because you don't know how the weather's going to be. Like, we could have a blizzard and you never get your lights up. And I could see, like, putting them up before Thanksgiving.
Right, but don't turn them on.
Don't turn them on, but, like, it seemed to be the thing. Everybody was decorating really early this year.
That's unacceptable.
Yeah, and this year Thanksgiving was literally the earliest it could be.
Right, exactly.
So it's like, if you wait until Thanksgiving, you still got a full week plus in November.
Right.
When Thanksgiving's like, you know, the 27th, it's like, okay, well, you're less than a month from Christmas. Mm-hmm. So he's up, boy. I could see getting it up early. It was, what, the 22nd this year?
Yeah, it was early.
But, yeah, we were seeing
Christmas lights literally, like, right after Halloween.
That's unacceptable.
It was really early. And, you know, I don't want to spoil people's fun. And, like, if you like your twinkly lights, like, you go on with your bad self. But, like, really? Like, it just seems too much. I don't know.
Christmas lights should not go up until after Thanksgiving. That's, I mean, like you said, you could put them up, but don't turn them on.
Yeah. Coming from New England, I share Rita's sentiment because we've had Novembers where there was a foot of snow on the ground.
Right.
So it's like, if you get that one decent weekend, it's get her done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can understand that, but don't
conversely,
turn them on, 'cause that's wrong.
Right. Conversely, there were years where I didn't get the Christmas decorations down until March.
Oh, yeah, for the same reason. Yeah, when the string's frozen to the roof, you're not getting it down.
Exactly.
Oh, Alan, I wanted you to talk about your hot glue thing.
What?
What did
Because
Alan?
I have never heard of this in my life.
What, putting up lights with hot glue?
No!
Have you
heard of this, Jay?
No. And you know why? It's because we come from cold. If you tried
that, it wouldn't work here, right?
Exactly.
I don't know. It's a pretty standard, you know, all the pro installers do. They like, especially on brick, they use hot glue and they just stick light. They do a dab of hot glue, stick the light on and go on to the next one. It's just dab, 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 dab. I mean, there's really no other way to put them on brick.
I now have a mental image of Alan dabbing. You know, like the kids do.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm just saying.
Well, that's how you do it. You get your hot glue gun. You know how hot glue works. You just glop some on and stick it to the brick, and hold it there for a few seconds, and then you go on.
When it gets down into the teens for temperature, that hot
I think glue the glue would fall off, right?
Yeah. It would shrink because of the extreme cold temperature, and it would.
I mean,
does the hot glue come off your brick?
Yeah, when you just pull the lights off and it comes, it just pops off.
Oh,
I've never heard of this.
This is crazy.
I know crazy what hot glue is. My wife has several glue guns, but I've never heard of lights put up with hot glue. Now, interior lights, you can cheat and get the little suction cups for the windows.
Oh, that's not the same at all.
Get hot glue
them
to your windows.
I got little stakes and put lights on the ground.
Yeah, we can't do that here
along
either.
Along the sidewalk and along the floor.
Well, you can if you don't.
Yeah.
There'll be a glow under the snow.
Actually, that's one of my favorite things is when people have lights on like their shrubs and things in the front yard, and then you get a good snow and the lights kind of glisten through the kind of glow through the snow. It's really pretty. It's kind of one of my favorite things.
That's not an issue.
We're far enough south that we don't really have to worry about it too much.
Maybe you should try the hot glue, Jay.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Do a Google search for hot Christmas lights installed with hot glue.
Well, especially because we've got, it's not brick, it's the fake brick exterior, but we could, you know, we certainly could glue to the brick face. I don't know if I'd want to glue to like clapboards because you'll rip.
Well,
them.
you don't glue. Yeah, you don't hot glue to a painted surface.
Right.
And if you got that crumbly Mexican brick, you probably don't want to do that either because you'll yank a divot out when you pull the glue off.
Replace your divots.
But if you got,
I think it's called stucco.
Yeah, whatever. But or if Adobe.
Standard
brick, then it works great.
Now I'm intrigued, Alan. Curse you.
Report back.
We actually have to update our Christmas decorations. We have like a light up reindeer and a light up Santa sleigh. And the problem is the reindeer, like half the lights are out.
Oh, no.
So it's like the saddest looking reindeer. And the antlers, like it used to have, you know, basically the antlers pop out for storage.
Mm-hmm.
The head detaches from the body, the antlers detach from the head, and everything fits together. It's wonderful until you've had it for 15 years and they start rotting.
They just look sad.
So basically my reindeer's antlers are zip tied to his head. Half the lights are gone.
You know what, Jay? I think your reindeer there is a good candidate for conversion into one of those redneck.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
One of those redneck deer gutting displays.
He's fixed in that, you know, the legs are in a fixed state. They don't rotate.
Yeah, but you could break those.
No, hang them upside down.
Ooh.
Oh my gosh.
There you go.
With the head just kind of dangling.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're going to horrify the neighbors next year. Actually, knowing my neighborhood, they'll think it's cool.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Yeah, we used to do the full Clark Griswold, you know, the icicles all down the front of the house, the lights all the way up the peak. And it was fun, but it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
They have people that'll do that for you.
Oh, yeah.
I have like the place, the guys that mow my yard, they'll also do lights and stuff. They're like, you know, sign up now to get your Christmas lights installed. And
that's a great gig when you think about it.
I have never, that's another thing is not a thing here. I have never seen, obviously I don't live like in a very rich community, but maybe they do it in like, you know, Waite Hill and whatever, but no, I've never seen anything like that before. People doing your lights for you.
Oh yeah.
People here is kind of like if you're putting up Christmas lights, it's kind of like a symbol of your individuality because you have your own thing going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, the neighborhood my parents lived in,
mm-hmm.
This was back in the 80s. They had like community, they had a really weird homeowners association and they did street themes.
Oh,
for Christmas decorations, where everybody on the street would do the same theme. Like like one street, all the houses would use like white lights only and do certain like,
oh,
so it'd be like every street would be a different theme of decorations. And it was like every house. It wasn't like you go down a neighborhood and you got like, you know, a house here, a house there, and somebody does them crazy and somebody does them like not at all. And then you got one guy that's got like one light. You know,
the light pole has one.
But this place, it was like every house, you know, they were all, it was like Stepford Wives in its like,
that's,
it's like
weird.
every house was lit up the same way. It's like, that's a little too regimented for my taste.
Yeah, I mean, we get like a really good mishmash here. Yeah.
I like that. And well, you have the, everybody's house is different too.
Yeah, we kind of have like a mishmash neighborhood. You know, it's like an older neighborhood. You know, we have houses at the end of the street that were probably built like 1900, and my house is built 1935. So like we kind of have like an eclectic mix of all sorts of architecture and stuff. And yeah. And it's like every year, you know, you can see the Christmas displays kind of evolve and change a little bit. There's a guy at the end of my street that every time I turned the corner last year, it would just irritate me so much because he had he had like just random kind of chunks of color, and then some of them blinked and then some of them didn't, and then they were all kind of blinking like in different rhythms, and it just, oh, like, no. I was just like, oh my god, these my people god. Like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
This year they have kind of like pulled it all together and nothing's blinking, thank god. But you know, and then we have another guy in the neighborhood who really, really goes all out, where he does the Christmas display with the lights, but he also, I don't know how he does it, he broadcasts on the radio.
Oh, yeah. That's real popular now.
Yeah.
Synchronizes
the lights. He broadcasts on the radio, and he synchronizes the lights to a radio, you know, this radio station he broadcasts to. Yep. So
we have one.
And now he's doing it for Halloween, too. He does the same thing for Halloween now, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We have somebody in the neighborhood like that. He puts a little sign out that's like, mm-hmm, to the radio, 91.3.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And apparently, if you do that, you get the light show goes with the music.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah, I can only imagine these people are retired because. Jesus, who has time? I don't know.
There's some retired engineer out there doing his like microprocessor controlled light board and and then, you know, it's like, I have a problem with lights because I don't like the LED lights.
But they're all LED lights now.
They're starting to make a comeback. You can buy the C9s, the old fashioned, the old style C9 lights. That's what I bought for my yard and to put on the house. They're like the giant fat bulbs, and they're awesome.
Cool.
So, and they look like actual, you know, real lights, not, you know, LEDs. Because the LED, it's just the color, you know, like the blue is that weird blue, and the red's not quite red, and the white is like really blue.
it's just off.
Yeah, it just looks wrong.
Well, it's off for you because it's not right. Nostalgic for you, right?
Right. Well, it's not the old fat incandescent lights like I'm used to. I'm sure kids born after, you know, 2000, they're probably looking at it going, "What? What's the problem?"
Cramps? No, it's not on their phones. So they're not looking at it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Maybe the radio thing is a thing that MDiv could add to his display.
How do you know he hadn't already? We'll have to ask him. MDiv?
Yeah, well, we MDiv, if you're listening. I probably shouldn't encourage it. I don't know.
I don't think he needs much encouragement.
No.
Oh, goodness.
So anything new with you, Jay? Oh, actually, I wanted to talk about the DNA tests that we're all doing.
Oh, yes.
As an update, the DNA place has all of our spit by now.
That's right.
Because Alan sent his earlier than we did, and my spit arrived in North Carolina today. So, Jay's yours has arrived also.
Yes.
But I had a nightmare about the DNA results. And I think it makes me racist.
No, it just makes you a Clevelander.
I had a nightmare about my DNA results coming back. And my DNA results said that I was 90% Eastern European. And for some reason in my dream, like, I was like panicking, like, what? How can I be an Eastern European? Oh no. Like, it was like the worst thing ever. Not that I have anything against Eastern European people, but.
Breed of being Slavic or something.
I know.
Dear God, no.
What makes it funny is you have to understand that Brita grew up in Cleveland.
I know. We have a lot of Eastern Europeans.
Yeah, but here. Cleveland, a lot of people don't live. If you live in a part of the country that is not, that was not settled in like the 1800s,
mm-hmm.
you might not understand this, because most of Texas, all the Southwest, all the, you know, a lot of the South is, you know, most people came here. It's more mixed up.
Okay.
But in old cities like Cleveland, you mm-hmm. have, you actually have a little Italy. You actually have
we have Polish Slavic area. Village.
Right. You yeah. have the Italian part of town and the Irish right. part of town and the yeah. you know, it's like
Jay knows what you're talking about.
When you grow up Irish and your dad is like the president of the Irish club and runs the Irish parade and all that kind of stuff, you're probably more Irish than the people in Ireland.
Well,
and to have a nightmare that you're oops, I'm Eastern European. It's like you're in the back of your head. You're like, oh God, I've got to move to Parma now.
Yes, I got to move to Parma.
I only know of Parma because of the Drew Carey Show.
That's how I know of it. But that's like Bohunk Central, right, in Cleveland.
Well, that's the joke. I mean, it's a joke. It is.
Yes.
I don't know if it still is. I don't know. It may still be. But then I was telling Alan about my nightmare. And Alan says, I'm sorry, Jay. I'm really sorry.
Least you're in Italian.
Yes. He's like, what if it comes back and you're part Italian? And I was like, oh, my God.
She didn't even. Brita's subconscious, Eastern European is better than Italian.
Older Italian. Yes.
I'm sorry. Well,
but you look at Brita's skin, and there's no way on God's green earth there's any Italian in that.
Very town. Northern Italian.
Yeah, extreme Northern Italian, like as in Austria.
Yeah. Switzerland part. The Switzerland part of it, of Italy.
But the joke growing up in my house was that like an Irish person marrying an Italian person was like a mixed marriage.
That is exactly the joke in my house too, Brita.
And
dad actually jokes about, you know, his son and his mixed marriage. Mm-hmm. He gets strange looks from his friends. He's like, she's Irish. They're like, oh, sorry.
Yeah. And it's because the culture is so different, I think.
The Irish and Italian are different people. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's one way to put it.
Anyway, so the results should be like 2 to 4 weeks or something. I don't know.
My spit was received on November 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
DNA extracted for analysis on the 24th. Red DNA with genotyping chip completed on the 29th.
Ooh.
Initial raw data processing completed on the 29th. And it says, and right into the latest update is calculating your ancestry and generating all your reports.
I'm super excited.
So we're going to find out that Alan is actually human.
I think Alan's going to be part Mexican. That's my guess.
Wow.
That's my guess.
Unlikely.
And then he immediately gets deported. Sorry, Alan.
So I'll be more Mexican than Beto?
Yes.
We will start referring to you as Alan Cita.
Yeah, Cito. I'm not
Cito. Wrong. Sorry.
A long time. Yeah, I don't know. The Mexican thing probably not going to work out just based on where my family's
from. You never know. You never know, Alan.
You never know. It'll be
kind of a stray. You know,
you'd be more likely to be French.
French.
Yeah, I don't know. My dad always said that the family spent some time in where the hell was it? The Netherlands or something like that. Because they fled the country during the English Civil War or something. I don't know.
Okay.
So it was. Well, so there you go. You and Brita have something in common.
And then on my mother's side, there was, you know, she did the whole Daughters of the American Revolution thing. So
that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you don't know who could be.
Mutt. I'm an American mutt.
We shall see.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Uh-oh.
So we thought about doing the whole, like, hey, you know, maybe we should just wait and nobody look at the results until we record a podcast. And then I thought, yeah, because that'll be really odd, you know, interesting on an audio only show where, you know, like 15 minutes of people staring at their browser screen going, huh, wow, oh, how about that? Oh,
for crying out loud.
Yeah. Mom, you got some splaining to do.
Come back.
Yeah, so I think we'll look at the results before the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because.
Whenever that is.
We'll find out. I'm actually Thai. Like, wait a second, guys. I question your scientific accuracy.
Well, you know.
We've determined you're a Polynesian.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if there's any, like, Neanderthal or, you know.
Thanks, Alan. Just because my knuckles drag on the ground.
Well, it could happen, you know. I mean.
It's not even Homo sapiens, for crying out loud.
Well, they say there's, you know, if your ancestors are from anywhere in Northern Europe, there's a good chance you've got
Neanderthal
DNA. So. Anyway.
Anyway.
Forehead.
Something to look forward to. Everybody's That's thrilled.
Right. Everybody's the giant so reveal right around
and,
New Year's.
And I want to make sure everybody knows that we got no remuneration compensation or anything. it's paid for ourselves and nobody's getting anything. Although 23andMe, if you want to slide this way.
You know,
that's right.
We'll,
it's still on sale.
It is. Is it on sale still? Or are they doing that?
Mm-hmm. Like, no, it's still on sale. Yeah.
It's like two or more, so you can do a
family. No.
Or
is
it for everything?
Oh, wow. It's like $49 or something. I don't know.
For the ancestry only. It's another $50 or so if you want the genetic medical.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I still think that's really questionable. The FDA made them stop doing it. So they even when they do it now, they have like a disclaimer that says this isn't medical advice and all that kind of stuff. So like the ancestry will be interesting enough.
Anything we want to talk about this week?
No.
In the news? Yeah. No?
Yeah. There were some things. I have to go back through my notes.
I keep on seeing the story in the news about this guy who got murdered by the Saudis.
Oh, yeah. They keep trying to flog that thing.
Well, they're flogging it because they're trying to put it over on Trump. Well, I mean, what aren't they trying to put on Trump right now? I'm like, everything is Trump. Even this Epstein thing that's coming out. Jeffrey Epstein, you know, with the Lolita Express.
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to now be like, oh, well, the guy who made the deal for Jeffrey Epstein would be, you know, he's now in the Trump. What is he? Trump something.
Like, he's like labor secretary or something.
Whatever like he is. Anyway, they're just trying to like push everything over on Trump. But I'm so interested in this Khashoggi murder that happened at the. It was a murder, I guess. The Saudis killed this guy, and everybody's up in arms about this guy. But like, who cares? I don't care, because like, it's one kind of jihadi guy getting killed by other jihadi guys. Well, why are we involved? It's like, it happened. It didn't happen in American soil.
Yeah. And apparently this guy wrote some stuff for the New York Times.
And okay.
That's the connection.
Okay. And that's Trump's fault.
Well, of course, cause everything's Trump's fault. And then, he went to the consulate. He was lured into the consulate in Turkey, was it? And didn't come back out alive.
No. And his Apple Watch recorded his.
I don't know about that. Anyway, but the whole thing is you know, it's like the guy was writing talking trash about the Saudis, and he's a Saudi citizen. And he wouldn't shut up about it, and they killed him. But that's what Saudis do. You know, I mean, you piss off the king and you get killed.
Mm-hmm.
This is not new. I mean, this has been the way they do things forever.
I mean, when they're not pushing gay people off of, you know, three story buildings, they got to kill somebody else, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they keep beating this dead horse, and it's like, you know, why do I care?
Meanwhile, they're like, here's the thing. They're acting like Trump is the only president who has ever been like, well, the Saudis, what are we going to do?
Right.
Meanwhile, you have Barack Obama who is like bowing to them.
Clinton.
But that was okay. I mean, there's photos of Barack Obama bowing to the Saudis.
Yep.
So don't give me this bullshit about Trump and the Saudis. The Saudis have always been like, well, it's the Saudis. They have all the oil. What are we going to do? You know, play nice. And I think Trump, he has been like, well, this kind of seems like a Saudi problem. Like, it's not my problem. If they're going to kill each other and murder each other in their embassies, like, okay. You know, one less of them for us to kill, really.
It's not just the oil, though. It's the Saudis are like the counterweight to the Iranians.
Sure.
They're the linchpin of the Middle East that keeps the whole thing from going up in flames.
Right.
They even work with the Israelis.
Sure.
On espionage and dirty tricks in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like they have like this deal between the Israelis and the Saudi Arabia. You know, it's like they work together to try to keep, you know, Iran from taking over the entire Middle East. So, you know, I mean, United States is an oil exporting country now. We don't actually import any oil anymore. So as far as oil goes, nobody, you know, whatever. But as far as keeping a clamp down on Iran, you know, sometimes you got to be friends with a dictator, and that's just the way it is in the world. You know, I mean, they've been doing it since, you know, the end of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, heck, look at World War II. Stalin. We were allied with Stalin, for God's sakes.
See, Trump's collusion with the Russians goes back even further than we thought.
You know, I mean, Stalin arguably a bigger mass murderer than Hitler himself. And we were allied with him. Until we weren't.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But I just keep seeing it pop up in the news, and I'm just like, oh, come on. Just stop. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. And this stuff that's coming out in the news right now with Mueller. Oh, yeah.
That's a big. That's a big nothing burger.
Nobody cares.
No.
Like it's like inside baseball. Nobody cares.
Even the, I don't think the Democrats even care anymore because they know there's nothing.
No,
there.
Not really.
They got nothing.
Cohen pleads guilty, lying to Congress. Gives Mueller 70 hours of testimony.
Yeah, of nothing.
Of nothing.
And they're getting they're trapping these guys on it's like the, it's some in. Lie about something. It's like the Martha Stewart thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, you say something and, maybe, whatever you lied to the FBI. Well, no, I was just wrong about something. No, that's a lie, and like Manafort and these guys, all the stuff there that they lied about or did illegal or stuff predates the Trump candidacy by years or even decades in some cases. So meh.
Yeah. They're like, oh, it's going to be devastating to Trump, but nothing to bring charges on.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And
yeah,
that's what it boils down to.
We've been waiting on devastating to Trump for 2 years now and they got nothing.
Yeah.
It's like, come on guys, quit already. Give up. You're not, it just makes you look stupid. But, a lot of that's just playing to their political base. It ramped up really good right before the election, and then post-election, it just kind of died off. Like, whatever. I'm more interested in what's going on with this Epstein thing.
Mm-hmm.
Since the Miami Herald, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Came up with this. They went out and actually tracked down some of the victims of Epstein who were like ordered to stay silent, I guess. And they ferreted out the deal and all this stuff. And the whole thing really stinks. I mean, they got Epstein. They got like girls who are like 14.
Yeah.
Going, yeah, he pressured us into having sex or doesn't matter how they wound up having sex. Even if they were willing to do it, they were 14 for God's sake.
Yes.
So, it doesn't matter how it happened. Even if they were, even if they were knocking on his door and said, hey, let's go, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter at that point. And the prosecution cut a deal where Epstein pled guilty to having sex with a prostitute.
14-year-old prostitute.
No, the age was not even part of the deal.
But she was 14.
That wasn't part of the plea deal. The underage aspect was ignored, and it was just, sex with a prostitute. Like not even a felony thing. It was like a misdemeanor thing. So, I mean, it was really, really egregiously bad on the part of everyone. And the Miami Herald article talks about the detectives that were like, hey, we got boxes full of testimony from all these girls that were underage at the time. And all this stuff and the prosecutors are like, shut up. It never,
Yeah. These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Exactly. And, yeah. So now they're ever since that, it's like you posted that article, Brita, about the the infamous Clinton,
mm-hmm.
and his ditching the Secret Service.
Yeah, to go on the Lolita Express to his Epstein's secret island.
Not just once.
26 times.
Not just twice.
Yeah. What the fuck?
26 times.
twice. Right. Maybe he didn't realize what was going on.
Right.
I give him. Well, okay. He ditched the Secret Service to do it. That tells you he knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he'd have taken his secrets. He would have taken a couple of Secret Service guys with him. He knew exactly what was going on. He didn't want any of this on the record.
But again, it gets back to the media.
They didn't care.
And imagine if George Bush, how much they hated him.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine if
Trump did it. Holy crap.
Well, Trump's the sitting president.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying Bush. They hated Bush. Imagine if George Bush was on an airplane nicknamed the Lolita Express going to a known pedophile
who was
having underage girls brought in for sexual pleasure of middle-aged men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would the media say, there's no story here, let's not follow up on it? Or would it be front page news for months?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And why is it coming out now?
Because somehow Trump is involved.
There's something else going on for this to be in the news. They're willing to sacrifice Clinton at this point. Which tells me they know Clinton is, you know. They don't want a repeat of 2016. Mm-mm. They want to make sure that Hillary stays good and not running.
That's right. Well, okay, so I just found the thing. The Epstein signed a plea agreement in 2007 with the U.S. Attorney's Office accepting a single charge of soliciting prostitution.
Mm, wow.
He agreed to a 30-month sentence, registered as a Tier 1 sex offender with the U.S. Virgin Islands, and paid dozens of young girls under a federal statute providing for compensation to victims of child sexual abuse. But wasn't actually, you know, convicted.
But all over the headlines, child sexual abuse. All of the headlines, Trump's labor secretary once helped a billionaire child rapist hide his crimes.
Right.
Along with Alan Dershowitz.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, that's not coming up.
Did Al Gore go on the Lolita Express too?
I wonder if Joe Biden did.
Oh, that would, oh my God. That would totally fit in with Joe Biden.
This was in the early 2000s, it looks like. It looks right before this Epstein was caught. This was going on.
And yes, Al Gore, yes. Has gone on the Lolita Express.
So we've got Bill Clinton, Al Gore, all kinds of leftists, but, you know, oh, there we go. We have one connection to Trump. That's the story. Again.
Yeah.
Well, this goes back to the Me Too movement.
Oh, yeah.
They thought... Sure, that, you know, oh, they were going to start this up and Bill, you know, with you know, Trump and the his comment, it was going to, all of these women were going to come forward and this is going to bury him, and they were, you know, of course he would be impeached and Hillary Clinton would be made president because they don't know the chain of succession. But and what ended up happening were like, oh, Kevin Spacey and Harvey Weinstein and oops. And but remember Larry David, like Larry Craig. Remember Larry Craig, like 20 years ago. Remember that? You know, just
yep.
Had Kevin Spacey, whose defense was, "I'm gay."
Yeah, like that. Oh, that's his get out of jail free card or something.
Not how it works, Kev. Sorry.
Oh, that's right. Larry Craig got arrested. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't see any link between Joe Biden and Jeffrey Epstein. However, it would not surprise me. It was Joe Biden.
He just likes smelling their hair, though.
Oh God. Oh. I watch those videos. And
creepy Uncle Joe.
I hate to say this, but like, I bet you every woman in human history has had one of those creepy guys, one of those creepy uncles, or the creepy guy, a creepy guy at the family party, or I I bet you every woman has one of those stories where they're a little too grabby and a little too handsy and a little too close too long. And it just makes you feel like, oh God, oh God, oh God, please stop touching me. Like, how do I get out of this situation? Please, like, someone save me. Like, I mean, it's like you're in public and everybody else is there. And everybody's, and it's like, oh, ha, ha, ha. And it's like a funny thing, but it's not funny to you at the time.
Yeah.
It just is like this weird, like awkward, uncomfortable, why does this guy keep touching me kind of thing. But you feel as a woman like, well, I have to be nice and I have to let this happen and I just have to be polite kind of thing. And just watching those videos, and I bet you every woman can tell you that they have had that exact same feeling at some one point in their lives.
But you
because can, nobody stepped up and said, stop groping her or stop hugging her or don't you see you're making her uncomfortable or, yeah, you know, whatever.
Don't be a creep.
The looks on the women's faces are just.
Oh, it's awful.
You can tell they know what's going on.
Of course they do. Every woman does. There's a video of Joe Biden, and this is the hardest one for me to watch, is where he has a little girl, and he apparently he likes to do this during photo ops of like families that come in to meet the president or the vice president or whatever. And so he has a little girl standing in front of him, right in front of him, and he's very practiced at this. If you watch the video, he's very practiced at this. And he's like kind of brushing the girl's hair away from her shoulder or something. And then he very casually lets his hand stray towards her chest. Ugh. And you can see the little girl like pull away. Like, oh my God, he's touching my private parts. You can see the little girl's reaction. But in that moment, she doesn't know what to do because, oh my gosh, she's a vice president of the United States and my parents are here and I have to be nice and I'm wearing this fancy dress and it's an important occasion. I can't ruin it. I have to be nice. You can see that reaction in the little girl's face and it is the hardest thing to watch. So if I ever find out that Joe Biden has gone to the Lolita Express, I would not be surprised in the least.
On the other hand, maybe they're like, dude, don't.
Maybe they're too old for him.
Or don't be creepy, Uncle Joe. He just squeaks out all the girls. Yeah,
he creeps out the pet files.
Yeah, maybe, man.
Good God, Joe, that thing with the hair is just wrong.
Why can't Joe? But why can't you just act cool, man?
You know who Joe Biden reminds me of? Was Richard Dawson on Family Feud.
Oh,
you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He would like just molest every woman under the age of 80 on that show.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. Give you a kiss, and he'd have his tongue halfway down her.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yuck. Ugh.
That's Joe Biden. That's our vice president.
Not anymore.
Triggered.
He was our vice president. Yeah.
I didn't vote for him.
Joe plugs Biden. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I mentioned earlier that the U.S. is now a net oil producing country.
Yeah.
We're actually the number. Yeah. We're the number one oil producing nation in the world right now. But Obama took credit for it.
In Texas.
Yeah. He was giving a speech in Houston, of all places. It's like, oh yeah, I did that. That oil, the oil thing, yeah, that's all me, Mister. You can't drill your way
out of. I couldn't believe it when I read that.
Well, because no one's going to correct him. He's Saint Obama. No one's ever going to correct him.
Yeah.
Chocolate Jesus.
Wow, teleprompter Jesus.
But. You know, and like the guy who was, there was like some oil company executive that was like calling him on. It was like, no way, this guy, he did more to, he tried to shut us down for God's sake. You know, if it was up to Obama, the fracking revolution would have never happened.
Right.
So, and they're giving, I was reading a thing, they're actually paying people to take away natural gas in West Texas.
Wow. Whoa!
Because they're not the gas is produced as a byproduct of the drilling, Mm-hmm. And they either have to, if somebody either has to haul it away or they just burn it off.
Yeah, I was going to say they burn it off.
Right. But there's all kinds of like problems with burning it off. So they're like they paid something like 25 cents for like million cubic feet or whatever the gas measurement is. It was like, so the price of natural gas is like minus 25 cents in West Texas. Of course, you got to go there and get it. So they're not clogging up a pipeline with natural gas out of West Texas now. They're pumping oil. So
there's nobody protesting the pipeline.
Not in Texas. Nobody protests a pipeline in Texas. You got to be kidding me. There's no way. The state government would shut them down so quick.
Get out.
That's like in in Alaska, they've got that the leases, all the oil leases on public land get paid to the state, and then the state pays like the citizens of Alaska. They get money for that. I don't know how much it is. You know, it's a few thousand dollars a year. But the thing is, in Texas, there is no public land, so all those oil wells are going in on some rancher's property. So, yeah, they're making bank, but then the state gets a lot of tax money off of that. So,
well, it comes back.
Mm-hmm.
So the Texas oil man, as epitomized in the documentary Dallas, is true. Is that what you're telling
absolutely
us?
True.
Absolutely true.
Absolutely true.
Everyone looks like Larry Hagman.
That's right. They all wear. I don't know. You know, when I was a kid in Texas. Now there was.
Oh boy, here we go.
Well, you
uphill both ways.
No,
I saw that there's a Tex Avery cartoon.
No, remember back when was it? What was the year that the Urban Cowboy was the big hit movie with John Travolta? Remember that one?
John Travolta.
Yeah, you remember that Urban Cowboy? And Gillies Honky Tonk and all that. That was shot in Pasadena.
Urban Cowboy, just outside of Houston. 1980. God damn, I'm good.
Yeah. So that was the Texas country cowboy thing was huge then. And then you had and later on in the 80s, you had Dallas and all those other like pseudo. It was like it was like cowboy cosplay.
Yeah,
drama. It's
well,
soap it, opera thing,
culminating in the documentary Rhinestone.
Anyway,
if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Ever since then, it's kind of died off. I mean, you still, you know, like when it's rodeo season in Houston or in Fort Worth, people, yep, you know, people dress up and put on boots and hats and stuff like that. But
and the tight pants.
Yeah, if you're in a city, you mostly don't see like cowboys anymore. You still see them a lot in the country. And by cowboys, I don't mean actual cowboys. I mean people that dress the part, whether, right, you know, just because they live in the country. It's like the country uniform in Texas. You know, cowboy boots and a hat. And
the Wranglers.
Yeah, Wranglers. Yeah, you got it. And they got to be tight.
Tight. That's my favorite part of the rodeo.
Yeah.
The tight Wranglers.
Brita likes watching the cowboys and the tight Wranglers.
Yeah, it makes me happy. I'm a simple girl. I don't understand. I've never understood the whole baggy pants trend in men. I don't get it.
It's because we have no ass. That's what it is. None.
You know. Well, some of us have.
Some guys do.
Most of us don't. Most of us.
Not to warrant.
It's the highway in Indiana. It's just all flats.
Cornfields.
That's yeah. I've been doing squats for almost a year now. I still have no ass.
Jay.
Nothing.
I'm so sorry.
Hey, but you can stand up.
I can stand up. Yes, I can.
That's important.
Like I mentioned on, I commented on Brita's post. I'm making myself harder to kill by obesity and heart disease and diabetes.
That's good. Also, it's you know, as you get older, they say that weight training is really important because it strengthens your bones, especially for women. You know, women are always breaking hips
or legs.
It's not that you fall and break a hip. It's that your hip breaks and then you fall, usually.
Yeah.
Because your bones have weakened. So weight training is awesome. I'm kind of back at it. I kind of took a break over, I don't know. I've been kind of slacking and kind of not into it. I don't know what's been up with me, but I think part of it was like I was trying to do the gym after work on Fridays, and it was just, by Friday at 5 and sometimes at 6, sometimes I work till 6 on Fridays, and it is just like you try to go to the gym and it's brutal. Cause it's like, you just want to go home and you're tired. So we've switched up the schedule and I'm kind of back at weight training.
Awesome.
And, yeah, you know, deadlifts and stuff. And I'm trying to like work in a little bit more booty work for the booty.
Thank you. We all appreciate that.
The world thanks you.
You all are very welcome. Yeah, but weight training is good. I'm glad you're doing it, Jay.
Well, I'm coming up on a year, and I can very occasionally see results. I saw an ab the other day.
Really?
Ever had?
Oh, ab.
Well, I mean, I'm always, everyone has them. I just
they're in there
for many years. Covered it with a hefty layer of fat, and
That's you know, protective fat, Jay.
That's right. I'm more bullet resistant.
That's right.
I'm my own ballistic gelatin.
That's exactly right. If you get 12 inches, you're golden.
That's right. That's right. I'm immune to 380 ACP. I was doing my core routine, and part of it is like standing butterflies with 20-pound dumbbells. And I got the full extension out, and I'm looking like, what the hell is that? My ribs shouldn't be that low.
Oh, it's a muscle.
Oh, my God. That's an ab.
It's a muscle. Oh, my God.
Damn.
Where the hell did that come from?
A lot of people are intimidated, I think, by weight training because they think, oh, it's so involved, and it's so, like, you have to do all this stuff, and really don't. It's like there are big lifts that you can do that are like kind of like they work all of your body all at once, you know, like deadlifts and squats, like, you know, they're like the big lifts and do big lifts, but start small on small weights.
And if you do the big ones, it works.
Yep.
All the muscles. Yeah. The key is get off the damn machines.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I think free weights are where it's at.
Yeah, stop using machines. Those are stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to, if you're like some sort of like, you know, competition bodybuilder, go ahead, go crazy. Because you're wanting to exercise, you know, a specific muscle. Yeah. But if you're just like a person and you want to, you know, not fall apart when you're old, get a dumbbell, get a couple of dumbbells, get a barbell. Or go to a gym where they have them and get something that's heavy and pick it up and put it down and pick it up and
put it
down and pick it up and put it down. And, you know, do squats. Squats are easy. There's nothing. You hold a weight and you stand up and you squat and you stand up and you squat. And it's literally one of the best exercises you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the easiest thing you can do.
Yeah.
Hardest part about squats for me is occasionally my knee.
Well, you got to be careful with your joints.
Yeah,
because
the one nice thing about squats is like, I mean, yes, you can hurt your back, but if you feel any pain in your back, you're doing the squat wrong.
Right.
It is an automatic reinforcement. It's like, oh, I did that wrong because I felt a twinge in my back.
Well, not only that, but Jay, I mean, people can do squats with no weight at all. I mean, you just using your body weight and do squats and you're, and I mean, cause you're, you know, you got to figure if you're a, you know, if you're a 180 pound man, you're, and you do a squat, you're lifting at least 100 pounds.
Yep.
At least. And if
speaking of 100 pounds,
and if you're a 100 pound woman, you're lifting 100, you're lifting 50 pounds. I mean, you're, I mean, or more. I mean, how much do your legs weigh? I mean, I don't know, but you know, body weight. I mean, that's always been the, that's been always the key of fitness, right? Is can you move your own body weight? Can you lift yourself off the ground? You know, can you, you know, can you do a push up? Can you,
I can
you
do pull ups. This is the,
I'm working on it.
I can do 4 sets of 10. It floored me.
Wow. That's impressive. Like dead weight pull ups or like kinetic pull ups?
What are kinetic pull ups?
Well, it's the way where you like kip and do, you know, do like
the last like three on my fourth set can be, there's a little swing and I'm not going to lie. But, and I'd use the military. I only bring it to a 90 degree. I don't all the way back down.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, I mean, I couldn't do a pull up to save my life for 35 years. I was like, I don't know if you guys, if you ever did it when you were in like grammar school, but we had the President's Fitness Award.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I never once even came close because you had to do a certain number of pull-ups. And, you know, I was just a little butterball hanging there on the bar going, am I done yet? Am I done yet? Am I done yet?
Little meatball.
Yeah, pretty little meatball just kind of hanging, little fat kid. You know, like, I was a little fat pinata.
At the gym, I use the assisted pull-up machine because I'm a woman. And
that's a lot harder for women.
We don't have the same upper body strength. Not and I'm pulling it about, I think, a little over half my weight. So, like,
if
70
you're,
pounds.
If you're a woman and you can do a pull-up, you are a badass. Because
I'm working on it.
It takes a lot more. Men, a slightly in-shape guy can usually do a pull-up.
Right.
One at least, but for a woman, for women to be able to do one pull up, you gotta be working it. You are a weightlifting muscle. You know,
you're meathead.
Yeah, I mean, because it is so much harder for women to do to get enough muscle mass to do a pull up. It's crazy. It's almost not even fair that. Yeah. I mean, men, as long as you're not, you know. Oh, you know, as long as you're not fat and completely sedentary, you can usually muster a pull up. Even the most out of shape guy can usually muster a pull up. If you're
wait a second, Rita,
yeah.
I've got a solution for you.
Okay,
identify as a man. Boom, there you go. It's just a concept.
I'm not sure it works that
problem
way.
Problem solved, right, Jay?
Yeah, duh. There you go. I identify as upper body strength.
You can when you walk in the gym, you can identify as a man and then do your weightlifting and then
there you
walk
go.
Out.
You just go over, do 50 pull ups, and then you can go back to identifying as a woman, and there you go.
Yeah. Problem solved.
I wish it was like that. It is very frustrating to not even be able to do one. It is super frustrating. Because I work out a lot and I have arm muscles and like visible arm muscles, you know. And my back is like, Mike is always like, oh, I got to take pictures of your back when you're doing your pull-up thing. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm like not doing them because I'm using the assisted pull-up machine because I can't do it. Maybe my bottom half is too heavy.
Yeah, that's what it is.
You think that's what it is?
No.
No.
it doesn't matter because you know whatever your body weight is, what percentage of your body weight are your arms,
right?
Because that's like the only part you're not lifting when you do a pull-up is like from the elbow back and everything, you know, well, everything else.
So my arms,
you know,
that's where I feel the pull up the most is in my forearms.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know, it's
you got that grip.
Yep. You have to grip and pull. Yeah. And
it's hard. Cause you do enough pull ups. It's like you get arms like those rowers. Because it's the same. Well, it's the same kind of. It's a similar thing, right? You're pulling and and in order to pull weight like that, you have to have a grip that can support it. And your grip is your forearms. All your that forearm muscle is all about grip in your hand. That's all it does.
Are we not doing phrasing anymore?
I'm just saying. If you do any kind of a lot of pull ups or rowing or anything like that. It, in order to keep holding on to that thing like that, you're going to wind up with like Popeye forearms.
You're going to crack walnuts with your grip.
I work on the grip too. The little squeezy things.
You know what works better than that, Jay?
What's that?
Take like a 25 pound dumbbell and hold it straight down and let it roll to the end of your fingertips and squeeze it back up.
Oh,
and do that like 100 times, and you're gonna laugh at the squeezy grip because it's like nothing. I'm telling you, let the dumbbell roll to the end of your fingers and you know keep it from falling, of course, and then squeeze it back up in your hand.
Don't drop it on your toes.
Yeah, don't drop it on your toes. But just do that a whole bunch, and you're gonna it'll feel real easy at first, and then after about 50 of them, your arms will be screaming. And you just do them until you about drop it and then put it down. It's telling you.
Well, thank you, Alan. There's another. I've actually got pretty much an entire workout routine I can do with nothing but dumbbells.
Dumbbells are nice. Great.
Which is great for traveling because most hotels will have at least, you know, a rudimentary dumbbell rack in the weight room. It's almost always, you know, there's a couple of treadmills.
Yeah.
There's a bike. There might be an elliptical. And if they're real fancy, there's, you know, a rack of dumbbells.
Yeah. Or one of those ridiculous universal machine things.
Oh, yeah.
If it's a really fancy place. I like dumbbells.
This is like,
it's the workout show. It's the meathead portion of the show.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. We lift things up and put them down.
Well, I mean, I work from home mostly, and I keep a couple of dumbbells in my office. And I, you know, when I'm like on a conference call or something, and which I, you know, am on a ridiculous amount of time, I'll just got to reach over and grab them and, you know, do a few sets just cuz.
I no longer take the elevator at work.
Yeah, that's a good workout, walking up the
all
stairs.
All the time.
Yeah.
We're on the fourth floor. So it's just, you know, every day I can count on, you know, at least six flights, you know, because you go up in the morning and go up after lunch. And
do you have an Apple Watch or a Fitbit or something?
I have a Fitbit Blaze. Blaze?
Okay.
Yeah, the larger one.
Well, I'm angry at my Apple Watch because it never tracks how much exercise I do.
It won't.
Yeah.
Even though I'm at the gym for like almost an hour.
You can't. You have to tell it you're exercising.
Well.
And then you have to tell it what exercise you're doing. Otherwise, it doesn't know. And then you have to remember to tell it when you stop.
Yeah.
otherwise, it'll think, oh, yeah, you've been, you know, you've been bench pressing 200 pounds for the last 3 hours.
Okay.
No, you know what's hysterical? The Fitbit, apparently the vibration from the handlebars of my motorcycle makes it climbing stairs.
Oh.
I made that mistake once. I got off, and then I checked my stats later, and I was like, 217 flights of stairs?
Wow.
No.
I was like, oh. Okay, mental note. Don't wear the Fitbit on the Harley.
Oh, wow. That's weird.
And talking to other people that have Fitbits and motorcycles, they've noticed the same thing.
Hmm.
It's got to be like the vibration. Yeah, I thought it might
something
have
been in the algorithm or something that's making it.
I originally thought it was, you know, because I have my watch on my right hand and that's the throttle hand. So twisting the throttle is movement. But a couple of guys I spoke to, they have it on the left hand, which is just your brake. You don't brake as much as you use the throttle. Same thing. So.
Especially a front brake.
Yeah. I'm like, well, interesting. So if I want to pad my stats, I just go for a ride. You know, 9 million stairs.
Yeah, be glad you don't work at one of those places that's like in a tower or something where you got like you're on the 40th floor.
Yeah, I don't think I would take. I don't think I would take the stairs. That I think
You could take the elevator to like the 35th floor.
Yeah, you can work up to it, right? You know, you do. Do 4 floors below your office, and then after a month, do 5 floors, and then after another month, do 6. You know, but you know what? A lot of those buildings, you can't do that.
Right, right. The stairs are only for emergencies.
They're exit only. You can't get into your floor from the stairs. The only exit is the ground floor.
Right.
Which
weird
is dumb.
Yeah. See, the total is only 6 floors, so we don't have that problem.
Yeah.
But what, then the
what floor is the right the range on?
The basement.
Yep. So when I go to the range, it's even better because I had 2 flights. Because it's actually like the building set up on a hill, so it's like you go down to the regular basement, and you have to go down again.
Ooh, the sub basement.
Sub basement. But actually, interestingly enough, when I'm on the range, going back and forth to like swap out targets and whatnot, it's awesome. I love when I get to the range because it's like, whoo, I get half my steps in for the day.
Oh,
that's me at the grocery store.
Mowing the lawn. Mowing the lawn. I have a tiny little lawn. I mean, like a fifth of an acre. I can mow it with a push mower in an hour.
Wow.
And it's 5,000 steps.
Nice.
That's half your steps right there, right?
Yeah. Well, a little less. I punched mine to 12,000 just to have more.
Oh, you're
more.
One of those guys.
Oh, yeah.
Overachiever.
Yep.
And my
Jay blows the curve for everyone.
My miles are higher, my calories and floors. Even active minutes. Like I don't want to set it back to the default because I'm like it's cheating.
Yeah, I bumped mine up from the default too.
I don't pay attention.
Do we? Oh, I'm like the Fitbit. When it gives me that little 10-minute warning about being active, I'm like jump up and run around the building. And
I turned off the Apple Watch has the stand up thing. I turned that shit off.
Yeah,
because
it's the same idea. Fitbit. Yeah. They want you to do 250 steps an hour, and they track it. They track it basically 9 to 5.
Yeah, my problem is I'm on conference calls all morning long because that's the sweet spot for Europe. You know, it's afternoon. Yeah. It's afternoon there when it's morning here. And so I'm like every morning is like inundated with stupid conference calls and I'm sitting there in the morning and I'm like, you know, I look at the clock and it's like 10:30. I'm like, fuck, I've been sitting in this chair for 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Can't you pace?
Yeah, I've got my headset has a little bit of a cord on it, but not much, you know. I don't have one of those fancy wireless things for
you know what you can do, at least with a Fitbit, you can cheat and swing your arm.
Oh yeah, but that's cheating.
Yes it is.
Jay's not above cheating.
But if it's just to keep my streak of active hours,
you know for a fact that there's nerds out there that have built arm robots.
Of course they have.
To cheat their Fitbits.
Well, my whole thing is like I look at, you know, I'm already opening up the app, but you know I set my goal as 12,000 steps a day, and if oh my god, why is this so slow? hold on, You know, if I look at my historical, I'm like, you know, 15,000 steps, 14,800, 15,800, 20,000, 16,700, 15. I'm not at 12,001 and I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I could probably kick it to 15 and still hit it pretty easily. Impressive. Okay, I had one day where I was 12,011. Oh, I'm like, oh, I had 2 days where I was under. And I'm like, oh, yeah, because I was flying. It's rather hard to get steps in on an airplane.
That's true.
They get real pissy about that.
I just looked at my thing for my Apple Watch, and I have done no exercise today and no intentional walking. You know, like no, like, oh, I'm going to go walk and get my steps in.
Right.
It's just what I did at work. And it's like almost 6,000 steps.
Yeah, but that's what you do at work is you get up.
I know. I'm up and walking around all the time at work. So I don't worry about the steps. The steps thing for me is like, I don't know. It's nice to be up and moving and not sedentary. However, it's like just walking around isn't really exercise.
It is to some people.
Well, yeah. It is to some people, but to like, it's not really,
no,
you're not really, if unless your heart rate is up and you're actually like working, it's not actual exercise.
Or if you're walking like all day, like you're out hiking or something, that's real exercise.
Different.
But yeah, if you're, yeah.
But like getting up and I'm at almost 6,000 steps for the day. And that without even trying. So that's like just working at the library for 8 hours. And on a slow day, by the way. So today was pretty slow. But I've always thought like some walking, I'm like, it's just what human beings do. We just walk. It's like.
It's actually our superpower.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it is.
That was actually a method of hunting.
Yeah.
Walking the thing to death.
It's exactly right. Yes. That's what they would do.
Animals until they collapse.
Yep.
I'm like, that's pretty badass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we're just going to keep following you. Yep. I'm following you.
Makes that whole like, stalker dude thing suddenly make sense, right?
All of a sudden, it's creepy genetic. Uncle Joe is evolutionary. Yeah,
that's right. Oh, man, we are so over now.
Oh, well. You know, people get their money's worth here.
That's right.
We got into Meathead Theater. We started discussing Fitbits and shit. That's
I wanted to make one little note.
Okay.
This is our 310th episode.
Oh, my gosh.
And it is coming up on December of 2018. It'll be, 2019. And somebody on this show
Who?
Has been doing this podcasting thing for 10 years now.
Who?
You.
I don't know who. Who are you talking about?
You.
Oh, God.
Didn't you start that in, like, this time in, like, 2008, sometime around the fall of 2008? Isn't that when you started?
Yes. There's a decade of my stupid voice recorded for posterity on the internet.
Decade of Brita.
I'm so sorry, everyone.
We need Brita's greatest hits. That's what we need.
No, oh my God, wow. No.
Like
no.
ABBA.
No, we do not need that.
I should go through the archives.
I will kill you.
And she will, Alan.
I know where you live.
Well, you can go through the archives yourselves. They're out there. I don't know where the show that shall not be mentioned. I don't know if that's available anymore. But
I don't know if it is either, and I really hope it isn't.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
But I think back. I think back to when I started podcasting and, oh my God, a decade ago. And I think back to like my first shows and how nervous I was.
And how prepared you were.
I was so prepared.
You did like days worth of preparation.
Days worth of homework for every show. I was the only one.
Now it's like, 5 minutes before the thing supposed to start. You're like, oh yeah, we got a show.
What are we talking about? Oh my God. No, but like, well, I do kind of save links throughout the week for us, but I just kind of realized that people like to hear other people.
Yes.
And people like to hear other people's stories and thoughts and all that sort of stuff. And I mean, if you look at YouTube, like people are vlogging stuff that it's like just their daily life.
Yep. And getting tons of people watching it too.
Yeah. And you don't necessarily have to have the most interesting life, but you have to have something to offer. And thank you to everyone who has listened to me throughout these years. Seriously. Like I started as a person who, you know, I didn't know anything from anything. And I really feel like I've come a long, long way. And I feel kind of more confident in my own thoughts. And, you know, thanks for that. I don't know. I was thinking today about when is it going to end?
Never.
You know, when will the squirrel port end? When will podcasting end? When will Brita say, okay, this is it? And I don't know. It could happen next week. But I've enjoyed it. And I've enjoyed mostly like getting to know people and being able to spend time every week with my friends like you and Jay and my other friends that I used to have. And I don't know. It's just been an adventure. So
it's been awesome.
Yeah. Jay, thank you. Because I've known you longer than I knew Alan.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's right. That was, my God, like.
Back, y'all were hanging out on like LiveJournal or something.
A million years ago.
You were.
Oh, that was like pretty much right after I started my blog.
Because you were doing Toys in the Attic.
They were way back.
I remember telling Jay, hey, Jay, maybe you should not maybe swear so much on your blog.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing, too, because if I ever move to New York, they're going to comb through my social media history.
That's right. Well,
guns for you, Mr. Violent Language Man.
Next time.
Mr. Road Rage.
Mr. Road Rage.
Which, by the way, I have a dash cam now.
Oh, all right.
I am waiting.
Did you turn off the audio?
Here's my question.
What's that?
Did you turn off the audio on the dash cam?
I'm not sure if it has audio.
Oh, okay.
Oh, damn it.
Probably does.
That's what Brita wants. No,
it was an
Think Jay with an audio dash cam would be like... You could have a whole YouTube channel.
Yeah, you probably could. You could take your video of the day's commute.
And, that would be so good.
And distill it down to the choice bits and probably have a hugely popular.
I don't know.
That would be so good.
It'd be 2 hours a day of what the fuck? What the fuck? Dude, what the fuck?
I'd watch it.
It'd be funny.
It would be great.
Occasionally punctuated with the, if you continue to crowd me out of my lane, I'm going to follow you home and I'm going to set fire to your lawn.
Yeah. The reason people get a dash cam usually, Jay, is to prove they, so it can't be used, you know, it's like evidence to like clear them, not convict them.
That's my favorite.
in your case, I'm not so sure. All right. We'll be back next week.
Yes, we will.
It'll be December.
I don't know if we'll have our... Yeah, it'll be December. I don't know if we'll have our DNA.
No, I think it's going to be too soon.
By then, yeah. But...
should have it by Christmas.
One of these shows in December, we'll try.
For the Christmas special.
You mean... We never do a Christmas show.
Squirrel Report Christmas special.
Well, what day is Christmas this year?
It is on Monday.
Oh.
No, Tuesday. It's on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Oh, I see it. Okay. Well, Christmas special.
On the 27th?
Sure.
Or on the 20th, the pre-Christmas.
No. Well, maybe for pre-Christmas.
We'll see.
Now, and yours would also be on Tuesday, so we can have the We can have the holy shit, I'm still hungover score report.
Yeah. We will see.
Yeah, true. Okay, we'll see.
All right. Well, everybody have a good rest of your week, or have a good weekend, and we'll be back.
And we'll see you next week.
Good night, guys.